"Greetings," says the automatically deleted husband. Automatically deleted again. I wanted to encourage my kids on a couple things from the book of Acts, but just a little bit about me in case there's just by chance anybody who still cares. I did go to the farmer's market today. One of the great joys was, because I wasn't there Tuesday, first thing that was said, "Where were you?" And not by one, by three different people, which, you know, because the relationships are marvelous, really, really marvelous. And there was a lot of fun, a lot of laughs today there. So it's I find that great. But the one thing I did notice, because I decided to take, instead of just going straight to the farmer's market, I did the longer route. So instead of the 4 mile, I went the 7 mile stop at Publix. When I got there, because, you know, walk aggressively, then stop, I find when that happens, sometimes there's an impact. And one is, especially I notice, I think the thing that's probably perhaps you might say weakest in me is my left hip. Because then I notice it's just not working right. When I start back up walking after a few hundred feet, I'm typically fine again. But I noticed it was rather pronounced today. And I think the issue is I walk Saturday and then nothing until this Thursday. So basically 5 days without walking. And it seems to be very clear because my friend Chris, he walks basically every day. Doesn't walk as far, but he's walking consistently. And I think that's probably one of the issues with me. I'm walking farther, but less frequently. And then when I have this several days, it seems to have cost me. So I have to be more careful not to let that go. The reason I say this is hopefully perhaps my kids one day will look at themselves. Again, I've told them, some of them may remember to be a student of yourself. So I examine myself. I see, all right, here's a problem that showed up, and to be aware of that. But it was insightful. And again, there, you know, obviously I've had some discussion the last several days and read and discussed some of the emails of late. But one of the things that it relates to that I want to encourage my kids on is a couple passages from the book of Acts, notably starting with the last chapter of Acts, which, this is Paul has done his, the Jews accuse him. He's imprisoned by the Romans, and there's all sorts of fiascos, and he appeals to Caesar, so he's sent to Rome. And so he's in Rome for 2 years. It's kind of unclear, but in one sense, because we can try to apply the way we think of things today back then, but he is basically under house arrest. Acts 28:17, and I'm going to use the LSV, but anyway, it came to pass over 3 days, Paul called together those who were principal men of the Jews, and having come together, said to them, "Men, brothers, I have done nothing contrary to the people or to the customs of the fathers. A prisoner from Jerusalem was delivered up in the hands of the Romans, who, having examined me, were willing to release me, because there being no cause of death in me. And the Jews having spoken against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar, not having anything to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, I call you to see and to speak with you, for because of the hope in Israel, I am bound with this chain." So this is, he's introducing himself. But the thing that, one of the things that stands out, "I'm bound with this chain." So was he literally bound by a physical chain? I wonder about that. There may be, the contemporary of the time is Josephus, who was did a lot of writing. He's the one who wrote about. He has a lot of writings that will help give some idea of the context of the situation. I have not read them, except the one thing I did find from him was when Herod gives his speech, and then he was eaten by worms and died. Not because he was given a speech, but because he accepted the praise of men. But what's fascinating is it's kind of, you think he dies and was eaten by worms. No, he was eaten by worms and died. That's what the scripture says. But Josephus says he was eaten by worms for 5 days and then died. And it's kind of like, you know. But anyway, so, you know, that kind of, it shows a consistency with the Bible. You know, I wouldn't make a doctrine from Josephus, but I think Josephus kind of, when the Bible says something, it's kind of like, So I don't know the details about this, but the fact that he's this chain. So, I wonder about a physical chain. But there's a bunch of things in there. For example, just go all the way down to the end so I don't make this long. Verse 28, being known, therefore, to you that the salvation of God was sent to the nations, these also will hear it. Then verse 29, which you won't see in all translations. And he having said these things, the Jews went away, having much debate among themselves. So that's one of these textual variances. And most, like the ESV, doesn't have it. And Paul remained an entire 2 years in his own hired house and was receiving all those coming to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness unforbidden. So he's in this situation and so he is imprisoned, but he has some freedom in the sense that he has his own home. There is the mention of the guard, and of course the chain. So the details are unclear. However, he had interaction with people, and received all those coming to him. And, you know, the thing is interesting. He spoke concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, unforbidden. And I think, you know, the important thing is, you'll hear I mention frequently the word parousia. When we read the boldness, it's the parousia. It's the clearly, boldly, unambiguously. In other words, he doesn't talk around things, trying to massage the words in order to make them palatable. He makes them clear, precise, and unambiguous. So you're not going to walk away with, did he mean this? Did he mean that? No, this is what he meant. Well, you know, okay. I'm going to fail already here on, because you go back to verse 25, and not being agreed with one another, they were going away. Paul having spoken one word, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit spoke well through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to these people and say, with hearing you will hear, and you will not understand. With seeing you will see, and you will not perceive. For the heart of this people was made obtuse, and with the ears they barely heard. And they closed their eyes, lest they may see with their eyes, and may understand with their heart, and should turn, and I may heal them. You know, this is quoted more than once. And then, of course, being known that the salvation of God is sent to the nations. The nations, the ethos. I want to verify that I didn't. Yes. Because I won't go down that trail. So you have him making a statement. Can you imagine being in the audience, or in the gathering there, and you're dialoguing with this gentleman who is claiming to proclaim Christ to you, and he quotes the Isaiah passage and applies it to you? It might be kind of like, he's insulting me. He's saying that I do not understand what the Lord is saying in the scripture, because that's exactly what he's saying. That's exactly what Isaiah said. So is it applicable today? And I do, again, it is like, I would suggest it's similar to the discussion I've given several times about the idea of the teaching a false doctrine and a false teacher. Because if you teach the false doctrine or a wrong doctrine, you can be corrected. If you're a false teacher, you're knowingly teaching a lie. And I think in the same way, we are in a position where we are seeing with our eyes, but it's not getting into us. We're not perceiving. It's not getting, you know, coming to the ears, but not into the heart kind of thing. I think that happens to all of us. And it's through the Lord's grace that it penetrates us. And I would suggest, like the idea of teaching wrong doctrine, we may be for a time rejecting what the Lord gives us clearly in front of us, that's spoken parousia. And then one day, either in large quantities or in little pieces, he opens that door to us, and we finally see his grace. You know, and I can look at myself and say, yeah, I see how things were slowly but surely broken down. And with that confidence, I can see there's a whole lot more ahead as the Lord is willing to open my eyes to see the magnificence of his grace. But anyway, one of the important things about this that really caught my eye, caught my attention, because I looked at the email from yesterday, and my portion of it, I did a quick print preview, and it was 3 pages, which is, you might consider, wordy. And there was my friend Chris, we discussed that today about the fact that, and he said, people don't do that anymore. They don't read something that long. You know, because if you go back in history, there were longer discourses. Now we do the tweet. You know, the tweet, the text message. It's got to be short, concise, and no depth. That's the norm. So I remember learning many years ago that a business letter should be a page and a half. Because if you get too long, it's too much, and it will be set aside. So I understand that, and then I look at my 3-page thing, and I say, well, okay, I doubled that, didn't I? But then consider, again, Acts 28. I'll back up verse 21. And they said to him, we neither have received letters concerning you from Judea, nor did anyone who came of the brothers declare or speak any evil concerning you. And we think it is good from you to hear what you think. For indeed, concerning the sect, it is known to us that it is spoken against everywhere. So just starting with that. So yes, they knew about this sect, you know, the followers of Christ, the Way. But they did not know anything that would condemn Paul, okay? But they knew there's this sect, as they would understand it. Verse 23, and having appointed him a day, more of them came to him to the lodging to whom he was setting it forth, testifying fully of the kingdom of God, persuading them also the things concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning until evening. And some indeed were believing the things spoken, and some were not believing. Okay, so you have that whole context. But so he's engaging them, and some bought it, some didn't. Okay, we get that. But there's a thing that stands out here. From morning till evening. This wasn't, hey guys, believe in Christ, have a good day. From morning to evening, he spent a vast amount of time trying to persuade them concerning Jesus. So this was a big deal. A similar passage, in a sense, Acts 20. This is where the one guy is, you know, listening on the second floor or whatever, what is third floor, and you know, falls to his death and he's raised. But starting at the beginning, Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the weeks, the disciples having gathered together to break bread, Paul was discoursing to them about to depart the next day. He was also continuing the discourse until midnight. And there were many lamps in that chamber where they were gathered together and so forth. And it goes on, talks about the event. But just that one verse. And I think it's fascinating because, if we read the ESV, on the first day of the week, when they gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart the next day. He prolonged his speech until midnight. So you have the idea of talked and speech. Let's say in the NASB, he was talking to them and prolonged his message. And of course, if we go to the King James, Paul preached unto them, continued his speech until midnight. But what are the words? You know, what really are the words? Again, the LSV, is he discoursing to them, and he continued his discourse. So discoursing and discourse. So there are different words, or at least different forms of a word, but what are they in the Greek? The discoursing is the dialegomai. You may have heard me talk about this before. And the discourse or the speech is logos. So they are two different words, not just simply different forms of the word, but two different words in the Greek. And so what does it mean? In the logos, the idea is more of a one way, in the sense of I am speaking to you. And of course we have Jesus as the logos. The word. But it is a spoken word. But the dialegomai. So that's different. He was discoursing or King James preaching, so forth, but dialegomai, which, you know, we literally get the word dialogue from this, because it comes from dia and lego, which is dia through, to the idea of to discourse or to talk to speak. Basically through words. But the thing is, it's not one way. It is not a monologue. It's a dialogue. Monologue where there's mono, one, giving words. Dialogue, we're doing through words, but there is no implication of a single speaker. It is through our dialogue, through our interaction, that we gain an understanding. Because when the Lord speaks, we simply listen. It's Job, I put my hand over my mouth kind of thing. We simply listen. You know, we're not gonna go to the Lord and say, let me correct you. I'm sorry, we're not gonna do that. But to each other, we engage each other in dialogue. And we, through words, we reason together and encourage each other, challenge each other, and then look to the scripture as the reference. Because, and can we see that? Obviously, back in the Acts 28, when we see and you'll hear some noise in the background. Today, the trash was picked up and the trash cans, my neighbor's trash cans, It is interesting. I use these gallon jugs of water. I cut the top off and I use it as a trash can, and I take the whole thing and throw it away. I hardly fill a gallon jug of trash in a week. I mean, I hardly produce trash. It's really amazing. But anyway, it was the introduction stuff, and then persuading them also things concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning to evening. So both from the law of Moses, the Torah, the Pentateuch, whichever term you want to use, and the prophets, the other writings. So he's reasoning with them from the scripture. And not, you know, if he's doing it morning to evening, I don't think so it's fluffy stuff. I don't think he was doing it all day and giving 2 minutes for each person. There was depth to this. And I think this gets back to the idea that, you know, I wrote a 3-page letter yesterday. And it's too much for people. Because we don't want to reason together. The fascinating thing, today at the farmer's market, you know, I do this whenever the opportunity comes. And today, the opportunity yet again came. There was a young guy there, probably later teens. And he wore a shirt that I commented on. And we got into a dialogue. And then he brought up, this was wonderful, he brought up his faith in Christ. And we had a delightful conversation. And I do think the sticking point we had is because we got into the idea of, you know, he talked about, he said, you know, the kings were there because that was a model for us about following our, he used the term leaders. And I did point out there's a difference between ruler and leader. And that the term ruler, basileia, is specific in the sense of rule. I command you to do this versus leader or archon, which is to be first. I didn't go into this detail with him. But anyway, it is the idea to be first. And it's a broader term, so it includes to rule. Because you will find that often a ruler and a leader... a ruler is all, you know, Basileia is only a ruler, it's not a leader. But the archon is a ruler or leader. And, you know, the leader, I couldn't think of the name at the time, but like Ehud in the book of Judges, because the book of Judges was mentioned. And we didn't have time to get into that. But, you know, he had his little event where he had the hidden knife and stabbed this guy. And then went back and went to his fellow Israelites and said, the Lord has given them into our hands. Follow me, not you go do this. He acted as a leader, not a ruler. And I think that's what you will see in the book of Judges. The book of Judges is not a group of people. A judge does not have authority. He has supposed there to be a discerner of the Lord's word. But he does not have the authority to impose like we have in the court system of, you know, modern U.S. So, you know, I would suggest that's a fundamental difference. But anyway, it was a delightful dialogue. And, you know, I don't go to, you know, the conversation started, he was talking about his faith and whatnot. And then, as you know, I say, it's kind of a, I got to find a better way to say that because I go for the jugular. Because I'm not, again, I'm trying to encourage. I'm trying to be a blessing to somebody who's younger. And the thing is, like Paul does, where he reasons from morning till evening, or in the case in Acts 20, continuing the discourse until midnight. When the opportunity is there, I don't give up. If it goes long, I'll stay long. You know, I will do what I can to continue the conversation. I won't end the conversation. It'll be somebody else who will end the conversation. So because the person in front of me or the people in front of me are too important to abandon, if there's the opportunity there, I want to encourage them. Encourage them from the scripture. Because I don't know if they are, you know, with hearing you will hear and you will not understand. I don't know if that applies to these people or not. Because it could be, you know, it could be, I really think this is true because I know in my own history, I look at conversations I've had with people and sometimes a bit of a conversation sinks in and it doesn't penetrate the mind or the heart, maybe for years, but eventually it does. And I remember it, or it provides the seed that, you know, because of other things, maybe you'll never remember that, but the seed is planted. And through other ways, you find a greater understanding of the truth. And of course, the important thing, because I'm only a man, I'm not the Lord, is I do believe. I'm far more sure in understanding what the scripture is. But at the same time, there are probably at least one area, maybe two, maybe a bunch of areas, you know, minor areas or major areas, where I have gone off and molded into my mind a wrong idea, or simply haven't, you know, thought something through. Where do I get that resolved? Through interaction with my brothers. And it's not in a tweet. It's in 3-page letters. It's in spending the time interacting with people. And I think that is so vital. And that's why, you know, if you go back a year plus, it was very rare that I would get to 30 minutes. Now it's constant. Because I want to have I want to reach my kids. Others, great, such as the gentleman I spoke with today, Wyatt. Great name, Wyatt. I want to get to my kids especially. Because again, as I say, I'm biased. They have been shielded from me. And it may be long after I'm dead, I'm trying to make sure that this stuff's available to them. So, you know, if one of my kids, when they're in their 60s or they whatever, and they have, okay, this is the, you know, they somehow get this, and they sit and say, oh, my dad was pointing me to the Lord. It was kept from me. But maybe one of them will say, you granted me an insight. And again, it's not because of me. I act only as the Lord's agent. But again, going back to Deuteronomy 6, they're my kids. I'm called to proclaim to them. I'm called to proclaim to everyone, in season, out of season, the 2 Timothy 4. And where did Paul do it? In Acts 17, in the marketplace. And I did it today, again. Being a follower of Christ is not something you do for 30 minutes on Sunday. It's not because you sing a song once in a while. It is a constant, from morning to evening. And, you know, for me, it's obviously become a whole lot more of a constant. And I want to get this to my kids. Because again, I'm biased. My kids, you know, my kids, they're important to me. I love my kids. I also love a particular woman, one woman and one woman alone that I love with the greatest of joy and intimacy. My heart is bound to her and her alone. It will never shift in the sense that I have one woman and one woman alone to be one flesh with all the days of my life. It doesn't matter if she becomes the adulteress or dies. It's the only way to end the relationship. But it won't end my love for her. That will stay until the day I die. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.